Well, should we do this thing?
Okay.
All right. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we're grateful for our time here tonight, grateful for the opportunity to be looking, at the topic of the biblical family, your design for it, as well as the responsibilities, not only as a group, but as individuals. And, Lord, the light that we can be in the world as a result of following your will and design for the family. Lord, I do ask your blessing upon our time here. May your spirit be our teacher. Lord, change our heart perhaps in areas that they need to be changed. May we be lights shining your light to those around us through fulfilling the roles that you've given to us. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we come to the topic of grandparenting. And this is fitting for at least half of us here tonight, probably better than half of us here tonight. All right. A number of us, of course, attend our grandparenting small group. So we've had quite a few good lessons from Bob as he taught on the subject of grandparenting and being fulfilling that ministry. Tonight is more or less an overview of what a grandparent is and really some do's and don'ts too of being grandparents. But I did find some fun but worldly views of grandparents. Here are some things. Maybe you've heard a few of these. Grandparents have the constitutional right to spoil their grandkids. All right. Being a grandparent is like being a parent, only you get to spoil them without the responsibility. Here's one. This was actually on a t-shirt. Saw it, liked it, told grandma, got it. Grandparent is defined as one who breaks most of the rules and loves every second of it. Grandparents are there to help the child get into mischief they haven't thought of yet. Grandparents are the best kind of grown-ups because they have no rules except for the ones they make up on the spot. Now, most of these are very flawed. Most of these are rather unbiblical. Are there some others that you've heard that are like that about grandparents? Does anything come to mind? No? All right.
The only thought that I had is one that Sally likes, and that's the only reason to have kids.
Okay. Well, see, that might even be biblical. I don't know. But anyway. All right. I've got four categories that we're going to look at tonight. Four categories of information all surrounding grandparenting. And I think maybe the best place to start is in some misconceptions about grandparenting. And I'll just tell you, a lot of this information I've pulled from a number of different sources. A lot of it has been from the Legacy Coalition. I don't know if a couple of us I know have heard about them. Their ministry is centered in grandparenting. But anyway, a number of sources in what we're looking at here tonight. But we're going to start with a few misconceptions. And as with most of the sayings that I just noted, there are some popular views about grandparents and really being old and even retired that I think a lot of people, especially in our Western culture, have kind of latched onto, but really they're not biblical. And we're going to look at some biblical do's and don'ts, but we're going to start with these misconceptions. Misconceptions about parenting, and here's the first one, and a couple of these I actually found on a few different websites concerning biblical grandparenting. But one of the misconceptions, or the first one I'm going to give you here, is grandparents should live life independently from their family. Now, for those of us here in Mesquite, do you see any evidence of that culture? Sun City.
Yeah.
Sun City really is built for that culture. And I'm not saying that everybody over there has adopted this misconception, but you do see evidence of that independent living of grandparents from their families. And this, by the way, I think is mostly a Western way, if not an American way. Our culture today has some, I guess you'd say, unwritten rules about how involved grandparents should be in the lives of their children and how close or far away children should be from their parents. Now, you know, we live in a big country. I understand that. And there are a lot of factors involved. I mean, just the distance, but the advancements in transportation and communication have allowed even for some physical distance, but still the ability to be involved. Okay. But, our children might move away from us, we might move away from them, but in our culture, there is this idea of independence and separation that really is not common at all in other cultures. Other cultures have generational families all on the same property, if not in the same house. That, by the way, is the culture most portrayed in the Bible. Yes, Abraham was commanded by God to leave his father and go to a foreign land, but why? Anybody know? Why was Abraham commanded to leave?
Well, he was living in a land of idolatry.
Okay. Okay. And in fact,
say specifically, or? That would have been the assumption.
Well, specifically, he was going to go to a land that God would give him, but he was moving away from the culture of his fathers, which was a pagan culture. But on that note, Isaac lived with his father Abraham and mother Sarah, lived within that household even after he got married to Rebekah at 40 years old. Jacob went to get a wife, and then came back home with two of them, right? Most of King David's family and their families lived in the palace with him, and he even invited extended family to live there later in his kingship. James, John, Peter, Andrew, these disciples still lived with their families when Jesus called them. And Jesus, most scholars believe Jesus lived at home until he began his ministry at age 30. But independence and separation is kind of a Western thing. I just finished reading a book. In fact, I think I talked about this book last week as well. It's called Misreading Scripture Through Western Eyes. And this is one of the things that he addressed concerning the differences in our Western culture as compared to a biblical culture and this separation and independence that we have in this country. One of the authors of that book was a missionary in Indonesia, and he knew two Indonesians that had gained a little bit of wealth, and they ended up they each bought a 3-mile stretch of prime beach property in Indonesia, which is unheard of for Indonesians. So they each bought this 3-mile stretch, and then they ended up building their houses on the property line 10 feet away from each other. And he, as a missionary from the U.S., why in the world would you do that? I mean, you've got 3 miles of prime property. He said, well, if we weren't close, we'd be lonely. Anyway, you know, different cultures, they look at this very, very differently from us. I remember, in fact, I won't say this is a dream of mine, but I could see myself doing this in the, if the conditions were right. And I remember hearing my dad talk about this. I remember him saying, the ideal life for me, and he wasn't a believer, isn't a believer, but he said, the ideal life for me would be off the grid, someplace in Alaska all by myself, in a cabin someplace. And that's very much a Western way of thinking. But anyway, separation, independence. Within this independence, the basic premise is that grandparents move away not only for their own independence, but they so that they won't be a burden, overstep, or interfere in the families of their children, and rather, again, be separate from them. And according to worldly wisdom, children grow up, they move away, they start their own family, they live independently from one another, and it's a cycle that continues. And a product, I think a product of this independent culture is that there's a whole generation of grandchildren that are basically grand orphans to a degree, okay? Because they do not have the godly influence of their grandparents close by. Now, there's no doubt, again, and I mentioned this a minute ago, that the modern marvels of transportation and communication allow for distance without being left out. But one misconception, and I think it's a common one, is grandparents should live life independently from their family. Here's another misconception, is that the grandparenting years is a time to indulge all your wants and pursue your desires. I haven't seen this bumper sticker in a while, but it was pretty common at one point, and this isn't an exact quote of it, but it's basically on the bumper of a pair of grandparents' car. It says, we're spending our children's inheritance, right? My children are gone now. Now it's me time. It's me time. But I've never seen a passage of scripture that supports that. In our Tuesday morning Bible study, we read about Caleb, right? 85 years old and still ready to drive the giants off of his land so that his family can dwell there. Joshua 14:10 through 12, it says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now my strength for war, both going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke of in that day. And here he is staking God's promise for his family. And he's at 85 years old. So the grandparenting years being a time to indulge your wants and pursue all your desires, I think that's a misconception. Here's another one. Grandparents are only good for being a companion and playmate to grandchildren. What do you think of that? Is that, do you think, practiced among a lot of grandparents? Only there to have fun with their grandchildren?
I think it starts out being the babysitter.
Okay, that could be it too. Yeah.
Often the ones that the young parents want to go to work, so they call on their mom and dad to sit for the child. Often.
Okay.
And in that, we became playmates and friends with our grandchildren.
Okay, and maybe just there to entertain them?
Well, we want to keep them busy, but we used to intersperse a lot of other things.
Okay, and then that would be the ideal, yes.
Take advantage of the time.
Okay.
But it wasn't all work.
And that would be the ideal. I'm just thinking a misconception in the world today is
to school too soon.
Okay.
You're just getting started with being successful at it when they can talk back with you at four, then they're off to school then.
Okay. Okay.
That was the disappointment. We weren't ready to let them go.
I don't know if any of you grandparents here have read any books that were written, and I'm talking outside of the Christian realm, but books written for grandparents to read to their grandchildren. One of the websites that I looked at was talking about this very topic, and their discovery is that most children's books speak about grandparents in very unserious tones, where really the deepest conversation that a grandparent might have with a grandchild in one of these books is what flavor of ice cream to buy them, okay? And that should not be the case. Grandparents should continue to lead their families through their godly example. And I'm speaking to Christian grandparents here and of Christian grandparents here and really be active in discipleship with their grandchildren. One of the comments on that particular website said, I want my children to hear the gospel from as many different trusted sources, including my grandparents or my parents. Yeah. So those are some misconceptions. Are there others that you're aware of? Some misconceptions in the world about being a grandparent that you're aware of? Have you heard of any?
Other than the ones you spoke. Because I think of the Japanese and Chinese have a culture, although pagan, that they honor their ancestors, and they don't seek independence.
Okay.
They honor them by showing a dependence on
and
them.
And again, what I'm talking about here are these are Western Western ideas.
We don't have that. The contrast is that we have from the faith we get from the Bible that we are all dependent on God. We want to teach that to children, our children, they have a relationship with God. But in that, the relationship that we have with God might take us away from the grandkids at a time when it's okay. My grandson is now 21 almost.
Sure.
He didn't want to spend a lot of time with grandpa and grandma anymore, you know, as much time as he wanted to do other things. We didn't have a lot of grandchildren. Fortunately, they were far enough apart that we could take one at a time.
Okay.
You know, do those kind of things with. But I think that the idea of the attitudes that come from independence, using words that other cultures wouldn't even use, you know, that independence is one of them.
Yeah.
The indulgence. Some grandparents have chosen to indulge themselves. They've waited all of their careers for their dreams to come true. And we're not taught to include the grandchildren in our dreams.
And, you know, I guess this last one, too, is really reflected in those common sayings that I began with tonight. Okay. That the grandparents, it's all about spoiling the grandchildren, being the fun, entertaining grandparents rather than a parent of sorts. So anyway, we've seen some misconceptions here, and I want to look at a couple responsibilities now. This is the second category that I want to look at. Some responsibilities of grandparents. And just as you're, as I said that, as you're thinking about it, from a Christian standpoint, what are some responsibilities that you think grandparents might have toward their grandchildren? What comes to mind? What was that? Okay, sharing their faith for sure. Okay. Other things? Okay.
Answering questions.
All right. Okay.
If you read things that foster question asking, and you're able to answer the questions with some guidance.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Guidance.
All right.
But being there to answer the questions.
Okay. A couple of the things that we looked at when we looked at the parents, the immediate parents' responsibility was their devotion to their children in just, you know, spending time with them, teaching them, loving them, the discipleship aspect toward their children, certainly the spiritual and even physical defense of their children. I think all of these carry through to grandparenting as well. In fact, I think grandparents should intentionally express devotion toward their grandchildren. This is them expressing their love in spiritual ways. As with parents, some of those ways are spending time with them, whether it be having fun, playing a game, or reading a book, or just listening to their stories, or talking to them. I think a lot of it is being present. I think a lot of it is taking those teaching opportunities. But devotion was a responsibility for parents, and I think intentional devotion is a responsibility of grandparents toward their grandchildren as well. Another one is discipleship, intentional discipleship, taking those opportunities as they present themselves. If you would, turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, this has kind of become one of my new favorite passages, as I recently learned it as a grandparent, being one myself. But Psalm 78, verse 1. And I'm just going to read the first seven verses here. Psalm 78, verse 1 says, "There, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength in his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they would arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God." And I'll stop right there. But how might a grandparent disciple a grandchild? What might that look like? You talked to Elmo about looking for opportunities or asking questions, but what might that look like? How might a grandparent disciple their grandchildren?
Well, this isn't anything I've experienced, but I recently heard a letter of a lady who was a grandmother, and so she was having a daily Bible study with her three granddaughters.
Okay. An actual Bible study, yeah, very good. Okay.
The whole circumstance, that's the only thing I know about it.
Okay.
Show him God's creation as you're looking at mountains and lakes.
Okay, all right. Tell him. Yeah, God talks about making all of this. Yeah, good. Okay. Does this passage, Psalm 78, shed any light on some ways that we can disciple our grandchildren? Okay. And I think that's really the focus of that passage right there. I mean, what do old people like to do? Tell stories, right? Right? I'm looking at the old people here. Come on. We like to tell stories. We do. And what better stories to tell than, it's Ashley, right? Than like what Ashley said, this is where I was at this point in my life. You wouldn't believe what was happening, but this is what God did. And I think it's a wonderful way to disciple our children and sharing the testimonies of how God worked in our own life. Another way that we might disciple our grandchildren, other than stories. Okay, and we talked about that with parenting, for sure. That the person that they see is the person that we're telling them we are. Yeah, very good. If you're still in Psalms, go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. Says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. And again, this is that retelling of the stories and then taking those teaching opportunities and then living it out in our life. So we've talked about intentional devotion, intentional discipleship, and then intentional defense. Now with parents, there is a physical aspect and I think a spiritual aspect in defending our children. And while grandparents may not be as apt or able in the physical department, how might they defend their grandchildren spiritually? How might we, as grandparents, defend our grandchildren spiritually? What did you say earlier, Janine? Prayer. Yeah. That's where the rubber meets the road, praying for them. Colossians. In fact, let's turn to this. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10, Apostle Paul there says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we could continue on there, but we'll just stop right there. And while this is a prayer that Paul has for his spiritual children, it's certainly applicable for a grandparent praying for his grandchildren. And from verses 9 and 10, what are some things in this scripture that we can pray for our grandchildren?
Come to know his will.
Okay, that they would come to know his will.
Getting the salvation and then being thankful always, praying without ceasing.
Okay.
Spiritual understanding.
Spiritual understanding. Filled with knowledge. What else?
Walking worthy,
fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I talked about intentional devotion, intentional discipleship, intentional defense. Why might I include the word intentional with all of these? And I actually learned this from the legacy lessons that Bob's been teaching us, but why might intentional be included there and directed toward grandparents?
I think not only grandparents, but all of us need to be intentional in what we're doing.
Okay.
That needs to be a goal or objective of our personal being.
All right. Okay. Do you think parents are more naturally intentional toward their children than grandparents might be? I tend to think so, and I think that's why the Bible studies that we've been having with Bob includes that. I think there is a more natural opportunity for parents, while grandparents, I think, because we're not with our grandchildren all of the time, we're not, with them morning, noon, or night. We need to not only watch for, but perhaps even try to create opportunities to express devotion, to disciple them, and to defend them. All right, so we've looked at two categories. Here's the third one, and this is some differences from parenting. I'll start by asking you, what are some differences that might exist between parenting and grandparenting? What are some differences that might exist between parenting and grandparenting? Okay. Yeah, and I don't think it's beyond a grandparent to discipline, but I think it might look a little differently. Yeah. What else?
Physical differences. The parent might be very active, playing ball.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. You come to me. I drop the ball. You pick it up for me and I'll throw it again. Right. Okay. Anything else come to mind that might be a difference between the way parents will parent and grandparents might parent? All right.
Discipline
is, and that was the first one I've got on my list here.
I found that I was going against the disciplines that my son and daughter-in-law were choosing to not do or do, when I thought the obvious was to respond to the child being willful.
Okay.
And they didn't like that at all.
All right. While there probably isn't a difference in the discipleship process, the discipline aspect might look a little different. And I say it might look a little different because there are a great many grandparents today whose children are out of the picture and now they're parenting their grandparents. And if that's the case, there probably isn't a difference. But how might the discipline of a grandparent differ from a parent?
Old school.
All right. Okay. And that might not be a good thing, right?
Right.
Right. All right. So in the realm of doing it correctly, how might a grandparent's discipline look different than a parent's discipline? Yeah, well, that's something I didn't think about. Yeah, there's probably more patience in that. Other differences? Maybe, Amanda, do you have something? The degree?
The degree.
Okay. All right. And that was one of the things I had here is more deferral to the parents. Okay. In other words, rather than the grandparent doing the discipline, them actually deferring then to the parents. Another way it might be different is it definitely might be a little bit more through verbal exhortation, okay, perhaps the corporal aspect of things, okay?
It depends on how old they are.
This is true. This is true. Right. Right.
Exhortation to my 3-year-old.
All right, very good. Okay, their deferral to parents might be good. So there might be a difference in discipline, and certainly there is a difference in our role. We, as grandparents, aren't the parents. So our role is to be supportive. And what might that look like toward our children as them being parents of our grandchildren? How can we support our children in their parenting? Okay. Okay. And that's kind of where Elmo was there a minute ago. We should certainly endorse what our grandchildren's parents are doing right. Okay. We should endorse what our children are doing right with their kids. We should endorse and abide by what our grandchildren's parents have said. Contrary to what we looked at earlier, a grandparent isn't defined as one who breaks most of the rules and loves every second of it. Grandparents aren't there to help the children get into mischief they haven't thought of yet. Okay, grandparents aren't the best kind of grown-ups because they have no rules. All right. Rather, we should endorse what their parents are doing right, and we should endorse and abide by what our grandchildren's parents have said. In other words, we're following their rules as well. Our role also is to be available. We're to be available to our children and our grandchildren. How do we let them know that we're available to them, both our children and our grandchildren? How can we let them know? Okay, we tell them. That'd be the first way, absolutely. Other ways? Okay. Yeah, or even we could go see them and make ourselves available to them. Yeah, okay. But tell them, we can text them, offer. Okay, all right. So anyway, there is a difference in our discipline. There's a difference in our role. There's a difference in, our role, yeah. And we need to be supportive, available, and The fourth category I want to look at tonight is some cautions. And as I was going through this, note that there are some very, very good passages concerning grandparenting, but there really aren't a lot of them in Scripture, and a lot of the verses that we can apply to grandparents apply to a lot of other things as well. So this hasn't been a lot of Scripture involved here tonight. But I do want to give a fourth category here, though, and that is some cautions in grandparenting. As grandparents, what are some cautions that you think other grandparents need to know about grandparenting? And I guess I'm calling on maybe your bad experiences. I don't know. But as a grandparent, what are some cautions that you might offer other grandparents concerning grandparenting? Don't overstep your boundaries. Okay, what do you mean by that? Make your own set of rules. Okay, all right. All right. All right, okay, good. A physical and verbal example, be one. Or is there a caution? Okay, okay, yeah, all right. Okay, so be a good example to your grandchildren. All right, other thoughts there? Cautions that you might offer other grandparents?
Bite your tongue.
What, bite your tongue? Yeah. All right, yeah. Hold your tongue.
Yeah, when you're in the family environment, maybe their parents aren't behaving in the best toward the situation, and it's just hard to keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
I still want to parent my children.
All right.
Even though they're 50.
That's a
good caution.
That is.
But I think that some of it is how your children also seem like your relationship with your adult parents. Because your children's grandparents are your adult parents.
Right.
And hopefully if you're parenting well, you can parent for the end goal of having healthy relationships with your adult children. But hopefully if you breathe and matter somewhere, that's a healthy symptom that you get to enjoy later.
Okay. Right, right. Yeah, and we talked about that when we were talking about parenting in general. We want our kids to see what a husband and wife relationship should look like, and we want our kids to see what a parent-child, even adult parent-child relationship should look like. So that's good. They learn from that. Any other cautions that you would give grandparents today as a grandparent?
Yeah, your children really need to learn from their own mistakes, but then live their lives.
Okay. That's all right. It's number one on my list right here. Grandparents should not attempt to run their children's lives. All right. Or their grandchildren's lives. This really is us as grandparents, if we're doing this, not being able to stop parenting. Okay. What might that cause to happen in a relationship? A grandparent that won't stop trying to control their children and their grandchildren's lives. What does that do to the relationship? Okay, it could sever it. I just don't want to spend time with you anymore, okay? Because all you do is you tell me what to do. You tell me what I'm doing wrong, okay? So that's worst case scenario, but what's something, is there other more mild byproducts that could even be had there that aren't good?
grandparents that have grown into a negative attitude of life. Sour. Hard to go visit.
You know, okay.
You take the kids and, you know, the grandkids around because they're just a downer.
Yeah, we talked about one of our roles as grandparents is to be available. Well, they don't even want to ask our advice if we're just going to tell them how to run their life every time they do. So yeah, we won't ask advice and it could even come to avoidance or a severed relationship.
But even just a sour attitude toward life, it doesn't even have to be interfering with you.
Okay, okay.
Just everything you say, they turn it around to a negative.
Right.
You just don't.
Okay.
Who wants to be around
sure.
negative?
Sure. Yep.
I mean, when it's extreme, you know, you can
sure.
only make it when it's momentary.
Yep. All right, so grandparents should not attempt to run their children's lives. Here's the second one I had on my list. Grandparents should not co-parent. What does that mean?
That was interfering with their discipline.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have equal authority over our grandchildren, and therefore we should not parent our grandchildren, but grandparent them. Here's another caution. Grandparents should not enable sin in the lives of their grandchildren. Now, it almost seems weird to even say that. Of course, we shouldn't. But can you think of some ways a grandparent might enable sin in their grandchildren? I think I have that one written down exactly. That's right. Mom said I shouldn't eat dessert before dinner, but Grandpa allows it, right? Mom said I couldn't do this, but Grandma allows it. In our own experience, we were new believers when our children were very young. Andrew was 2. When we became believers, but it didn't take long that we were very, our lifestyle changed very dramatically, in particular in the things that we allowed our children to watch on television and that sort of thing. But when he was at Grandma's house, anything goes. In fact, I think we've learned probably in the past 10 years that there was more going on there than we knew. And that was, 24 years ago now. But anyway, grandparents should not enable sin in the lives of their grandchildren. Can you think of other ways that might take place? Those were the two main ones that I thought of, or I should say most common ones. Yeah. Or just letting the grandchildren get away with things that their parents wouldn't normally allow them to get away with. Here's another caution. Grandparents should not buy love. And have you seen it? What does that look like? What can that look like? Okay. Well, we want to be generous with our grandchildren. I do understand that. But I think there's almost a, buying love. I will get them anything they want. We'll spoil them, right? And we can do that with money. We can do that with activities. We can do that with stuff that we might give them. Have any of you observed that? Have you seen that happen? I'm not going to ask if any of you have been guilty, but have any of you seen it happen? If you can just say, if it was you, you can just say, I know a guy, all right?
I've observed manipulation is the motive for some grandparents to be so lavish with their gifts.
And what would be the manipulation?
Well, always having gifts if they come over.
Okay, all right.
Making sure that if they knew they were going to get a gift, that they'd come over more often.
Okay.
That to me was buying one.
I'm learning this right now as we speak. That's why I liked my grandparents, is they always had snacks. Jell-O, M&Ms. Yeah, my aunt too. They bought my love. Anyway, all right. Didn't even know it.
The grandparents and the elderly aunts and uncles can't go out and play, like Jim was saying. So
right.
They have to fill the time with something. And ours were always games. Cards and different
and
games to play.
Janine and I are actually, and this is a little bit convicting for me here tonight, because we are the fun grandparents. We are. And we've never, I don't think our intent was to buy their love, but we did want to give them attention. But I think that's something we do need to be very cautious about. Right.
So I feel like
we're just carrying it for sure, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. But anyway, the point being is our motives should be pure in the things that we do, and we don't want to be grandparents that are trying to buy their love. And then this one here is a little bit of a different caution. Because it's more of in defense of grandparents than it is a caution for grandparents. And that is, grandparents should not endure exploitation from parents or grandchildren. Think about that one for a minute. Grandparents should not endure exploitation. How might the parents of our grandchildren exploit us as grandparents?
Easy.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're always available to babysit whenever the child, the grown-up child, wants to go out and play, and they do that more often than we think.
Okay.
A responsible parent should, and we're sort of allowing our children to go out and have wild lifestyles. If we're always there to babysit the grandchildren.
Okay. All right.
It's a tough one, because you don't want to be manipulative. You know, you want the child to grow out of it, of course, but by then you've lost control as a parent anyway. When they're in their 20s, or maybe after a divorce, they're in their 40s,
mm-hmm.
and they want to go out and sow wild oats, and they dump the grandkids.
Okay. All right. Definitely. That's the way that a grandparent might be exploited. Other ways, can you think of other ways? Financially, maybe? Falling on hard times financially, and I shouldn't even say falling on hard times, but maybe assuming that the parents will always bail them out. Right. Right.
Responsible with my money, as long as I've got yours.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. How might our grandchildren exploit us?
Grandma, I'm out of money.
Yeah. I'm out of money. Yeah.
My adopted grandson used to love to take me to stores to look at the cars.
How generous of him.
Yeah. No. He didn't come here to buy anything for you, but it got to be, he knew he was being manipulative,
yeah.
So he knew I was not buying it,
yeah.
You know, but he was, it's like it was new to him every time, and it was, okay, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
He liked to go shop and play with all the toys on the shelf.
Yeah. I think with us, being as we only do get to see them about once a year, we do like to, and we're there for typically a week or less, we do, our time investment is heavy into them. And a lot of it is playing games with them because they enjoy that, they enjoy the attention. However, I mean, it is constant. Yeah, I mean, we say no to games as much as we say yes, but if we said yes every time, it would be every waking hour. So anyway, grandparents should not endure exploitation from their children or their grandchildren. And that's all I've got for you tonight. Just again, kind of an overview here, looking at some cautions, looking at some roles and responsibilities that we have, misconceptions. But any other thoughts on this? Like I said, it's been rather an overview type lesson here, but thoughts on grandparenting? Questions on grandparenting? All right. Well, let's close our time with prayer then. Father, we do thank you for the time we've had here tonight. Thank you for those of us that are grandparents and the not only responsibilities and roles that you've given us, Lord, but the opportunities that you've given us to speak truth and your love into the lives of our grandchildren. Lord, help us to grasp a lot of the common misconceptions and avoid those. Lord, help us to grasp and understand the cautions that have been put forth by, well, many a Christian grandparent that has experienced this and perhaps reap the products or byproducts of that. Lord, help us to be intentional in what we do as grandparents toward our grandchildren as well as toward our children. And thank you for your word as the as the teacher in that. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
No, the biggest